So, we're talking about God's moral compass, what we have been looking at. And we've talked about the fact that a compass basically is used to determine direction, and it's the relation to the magnetic field and pull on the earth. So the needle on the compass always points to what is referred to as magnetic north. Okay? Now, one of the other things that we've said about the compass is that it can be manipulated. If you take a magnet and you hold it up to the compass, then you can actually turn the needle and make it point any direction that you want it to, because the compass works based on a magnetic field. So that's what Satan does a lot of times, is that he moves the needle on the compass for us and so forth. That's what we've been talking about. You see where you can actually turn that needle to point in the opposite direction of north if you want to. Okay? Now, the modern day compass, we looked at this last week and talking about what we have as a modern day compass, because most people don't carry around a compass anymore, is the good old reliable GPS, right? And but those, as good as a GPS is in telling us, you know, what direction to go, they can steer us sometimes in the wrong direction. Okay. Yesterday, for example, Cindy and I were driving over in Richmond, North Richmond, and we're in an area, don't really know where we're going, and the GPS, we're following that, and it says, take a left turn. Well, we're on a bridge, okay? turn left. I'm going, I can't turn left. Well, you know, you got to realize they can be off a little bit, can't they, all right? And, of course, we're talking about our direction in life, and we have to realize that Satan is always trying to manipulate the modern-day compass, the GPS, to get us to go in the wrong direction. Okay? That's what he does. Well, we need to be focused on and using God as our GPS. In other words, who is it that is showing you the direction that you should be going in life? And if that's not God, then you need to get a different GPS. Okay? The moral compass that God has provided to us is His Word. And the more we study His Word, the more we learn His Word, the more we understand the direction that God wants us to go in life, in all kinds of different areas of life. You have questions about different circumstances, situations that come up in life that you've never experienced before. You know, we need to go to the compass and say, okay, you know, Lord, show me what direction I need to go. And that's why He's given us that compass to follow. So this study, what we've been looking at, is really looking at several different areas of life that we really need direction in. Whether you're talking about marriage, you're talking about parenting, you're talking about relationships with employers and employees, neighbors, all of those kinds of relationships we have in our lives, the Bible is God's compass that shows us what direction we need to go in all of those relationships and circumstances in life. So we're looking at, what direction does God tell us to go? And we're also kind of looking at, what direction is Satan trying to get us to go in, so that we'll be going in the wrong direction? See? So, this morning, here's the question. What in the world is going on? You ever felt that way? Lots of times, lots of situations you look at and you're going, what in the world is going on with this? And I don't know about you, but I find myself asking that question more and more lately. Okay? Because there's a lot of strange stuff that's going on in the world. So what in the world is going on? Well, what are we looking at this morning? We're talking about a culture war that we are in the midst of. Okay? We are in the midst of a war that Satan is waging against Christianity. All right? That's what the culture war idea is all about. And that's what, looking at this idea of what in the world is going on, it's a culture war. And if you haven't realized it yet, you are in the middle of war. Okay? This is not just simply spiritual warfare, though that's a major part of this. This is a cultural war that you and I are in the middle of. Look at the kinds of things that Satan is using and telling us in the world. Sin is a myth. Do whatever feels good, or as the modern day, if it feels good, do it, right? Morals, there's no such thing. They're what everybody thinks they are. Whatever is morally right for you, then, you know, that's what's right. If it's not right for you, then it's not right. It's really up to you, okay? But as long as you're a good person and you avoid harming other people, then you're okay. Well, the truth is that sin is rebellion against God. And we need to be focusing our life on doing what pleases God. That morals really are given to us by God. They're not just made up by people. And that sin is sin regardless of who's doing it, regardless of what anybody else thinks, regardless of how many times somebody says it's not. Sin is sin. Satan is using the world's standards to attack us. Christianity is becoming more and more under attack every single day. Doesn't take long, you go on the news and you start reading a little bit here and there and you start seeing somebody is being attacked because of their faith. And a lot of that's going on right here at home. Okay? The culture war. And by the way, if you look at it and you kind of, you know, weigh it out here, a lot of the issues that are going on right now, they are dividing this country. It's really because of this culture war. There are those who want to go and do anything and everything, and anything and everything is acceptable. And there are those who are trying to say, no, we have a moral code. We have moral laws that we need to live by. And that's really a major part of the gist of this cultural war that we are in. And this is the philosophy that is driving the enemy. Anything goes. Whatever makes you happy, then it's okay. See, anything goes. Do whatever. Let's get rid of all the rules. Let's get rid of all the constraints. Let's do whatever makes us happy. That's what the world is telling us. And that's the war that we are up against. Now, in the tip of the spear of this war right now is anything and everything that has to do with sexuality. Okay? And that right there is where Christians are being attacked in a major, aggressive way in our culture today. Okay? Whether you're talking about fornication, whether you're talking about same-sex marriage, whether you're talking about adultery, whether you're talking about the transgender issue, and doesn't that sound so nice? You say, transgenders? It's kind of like, you know, we've done the other, you know, things. We don't call fornication anymore. We just refer to that as people living together. And we don't call adultery anymore. We just call people, well, they're having an affair. Doesn't that sound so nice? You see, they're having an affair. And so the transgender thing is all about what they refer to as inclusiveness. And they're the good guys because they're including everybody. And if you object to that, then you're trying to exclude certain people. And so you're not being very nice and you're not being very loving, is what they will tell you. You see? My son Kyle was telling me, we need to understand, where is this, what I refer to as a new sexual revolution, because that's really what it is. And where is this going? Well, it's going from bad to worse. If it's not bad already, it's going to get worse. Okay, we talked about that in our study on Revelation, right? Things are bad. Help me out here. They're going to get worse, but in the end, the victory is assured, right? Well, things are bad when it comes to these things, but they're going to get worse. Kyle was telling me about a training session he had not too long ago. They had a training video that was really disturbing. The title of that training video was this: Pedophiles are people too. Yeah. Yeah. And it's all about the effort in this sexual revolution and attack on Christianity to normalize anything and everything that has to do with sexuality, even this. That's where Satan is trying to take us. We need to realize how serious this really is. Okay? Because, in my opinion, the real danger from all of this comes from within the church. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's because of those who are inside that are accepting what is outside. Are you hearing me? That we are accepting it more and more as just normal. Partly because we don't want to be attacked. Partly because we don't want to be seen as being unloving, as oftentimes the accusations go, you see. And so, you know, God loves everybody. And so if we don't, then we're not being very godly, are we? That's the argument that is used. And people in churches don't want to be seen that way. So we're just accepting things. And of course, there are plenty of false teachers out there that are teaching the acceptance of all of those behaviors. But this is very true. Those false teachers wouldn't be able to propagate that material and that falsehood if they weren't being supported by the people sitting in the pews. See? So a big part of this whole cultural war problem that we're having is because church people have stopped standing up for the truth of God's Word. All right? The Apostle Paul predicted that this would happen when he wrote to Timothy. And look at what he said. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, why? To suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. That was happening in Paul's day, and it's continuing to happen today. It's just getting worse. See, that's this culture war that we are in the midst of. We need to be sure, as God's people, that we don't fall victim to that trap of not wanting to have to deal with persecution and not wanting our friends and our family and our neighbors to criticize us or attack us or any of those kinds of things, but that we're willing to stand on the truth of God's Word. Now, we can do that lovingly, can't we? We don't have to attack those who are you know, dealing with these things, but we don't have to give in either.
That's right.
We need to stand firm on the truth of God's Word and allow His compass to not only direct ourselves, but to help us to direct other people. We're at war, but I'm going to tell you, we are not going to win this war. You need to understand that. This war is lost to us. And what I mean by that is, we are not going to change the world and save the world from destruction. Okay? It's headed in that direction, and it's going to keep going in that direction. We're not going to save it. Peter tells us about the destruction that is coming. Okay? And it's interesting that he uses and refers back to Noah's day and the flood that God used to destroy the world at that time and those who were wicked. And here's what he has to say. By the same word that God commanded that flood, by that same word the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. That will happen.
Amen.
So in other words, my point is, it's not like we can go out here and we can really force the issue of Christianity and change the whole world and everybody will be saved and the world will go, oh, we were wrong, please forgive us and let's change the whole world and make it all right. That's not going to happen. Okay? The Bible tells us that. In our study on Revelation, that's what we learned. The world is headed for destruction. And it's the majority of people who are going to be lost. What our job is to save not only ourselves, but as many people that we know that we can. We reach out and we share God's Word with them so that we can save as many as will be saved. But the world, in its majority, is going to be lost. We need to make sure we don't get lost right along with it because we have allowed the compass to be turned on us and we're going in the wrong direction along with the rest of the world. We need to make sure in doing that that we're not giving approval for what the world is doing. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 as he's talking about what's going to happen to the wicked and godless people of the world. Okay, he says, they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death. And they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. And that's the part I was talking about earlier where what we're finding in churches is that church people are approving of all of these different practices and behaviors. They're just accepting it, that it's okay. When we fall into that category, we're no better than those who are practicing them. That's what Paul's saying here. No better than those who are doing them. We'll face the same judgment. Found this right here, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Okay? Again, we go back to Noah's day and the destruction that came upon the earth. Well, you take God's symbol, I don't know if you can read that or not, you take God's symbol from the last time He destroyed the earth and wave it around as the symbol of your sin. And that's what the gay community is doing. Great idea, isn't it? And then the caption is, excuse me while I take shelter. You cannot mock God and take something that He has given to remind Him of the promise that He made. That's what the rainbow is all about. It is not about gay pride. It is about God remembering every time that rainbow appears in the sky what His promise was to never destroy the earth again by flood. You can't take something like that and wave it in God's face as a symbol of pride for what you are doing in sin and not have to face God in judgment. Cindy, on her trip a couple of weeks ago, they had the opportunity to go to the Ark there in Kentucky and visit that. And brought back for me a T-shirt that says, take back the rainbow. You know? And that's something we need to be aware of. It doesn't belong to them to begin with. It belongs to God. It's His promise. See? We need to, in the midst of this warfare that we are in, we need to not give up. Look at what Paul says, this promise that he gives to us in Galatians chapter 6. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So yes, we are in the midst of a cultural war. And the more intense this war gets, the more that Christians are going to be attacked. Okay? Don't give up. Don't give up. Stand firm, knowing this also, okay? That he says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Anybody can persevere when life is great, right? I mean, that's the easy part. When life is good and everything's going great, you know, what's tough about that? But James tells us who perseveres under trial. When life is tough, okay? Why? Because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life. The Lord has promised to those who love Him. So that's just words of encouragement to us that in the midst of this warfare that we are in, don't give up. You're going to suffer. As I mentioned to you this morning in our Bible class, those of you who are able to be with us this morning, you saw, that's coming, and that's what we're going to be talking about next week, is the suffering that we're going to face for the cause of Christ. But it's a matter of being able to stand up under that trial, that suffering, remain faithful to the Lord. Let's talk about marriage for just a moment. Okay? People saying I do to get married, and a lot of people not even bothering to say I do anymore. Okay? In other words, what we're looking at here is Satan's attempts to wipe out marriage and family as the Bible describes it and teaches about it. Okay? It is a direct attack on our families. And the reason for that is, research has shown the strength of not only a church but of a culture depends on the strength of its families. When the families are in trouble, the culture is going to suffer. And that's what we're seeing happening here in America, because our families are in trouble. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus was asked a question. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any reason? So the issue and the topic was divorce. But Jesus answers that question, and I think he's giving us, some information here from the compass about not just divorce, but about God's design and intention for what a marriage is to look like. And notice what he says here. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall twain be one flesh. Amen. So, in other words, Jesus makes it clear right there that marriage, according to God's compass, His design is between one man and one woman for life. And again, that doesn't matter what the world says. Okay? Because again, as we saw in our Bible class this morning, who's in charge of the world? God is. It's His world, okay? Created by Him and for Him. So He gets to make the rules.
Amen.
And this is a rule that He made. This is what His compass says, okay? But again, the push is same-sex marriage, doesn't matter, do whatever. All right? California is right now, they are discussing and getting ready to vote on what is referred to as California Assembly Bill 2943. And in part, what that bill says is this. The bill states that, look at this, contemporary science, okay, that's what we're looking at, contemporary science recognizes that being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender is part of the natural spectrum of human identity and is not a disease, disorder, or illness. That's what contemporary science says. Okay? That's not what God's Word says.
Amen.
Right? What about fornication, as we mentioned earlier? We talked about this back in our previous series of lessons. We were talking about whether or not we believe God, okay? And we noticed a couple of modern-day advertisements. AT&T, for one, has this advertisement out. Gives you more, AT&T gives you more for your thing. You're getting serious thing. You're moving out of the friend zone, moving in together thing, and getting two of everything. And that's just accepted as that's the normal thing that you do. Chevrolet, in their advertisements about their SUV line. Okay, we saw this, that they have the Trax there, and this one is called the Trax. Do you think it would be good for moving in together? The guy that's interviewing the couples says to them. Okay? No matter what stage of life you're in, Chevy has an SUV for you. That's the message, that moving in together is just one of the stages of life that people go through. So they don't even call it, you know, it's not only not fornication, it's just the stage of life. Moving in together. You see how casual the world is treating something that God says will cause you to lose your soul. And this, by the way, is something that is a big problem even within the brotherhood. You got folks that are just living together and don't have a problem with it. The CDC came out with a report here not too long ago. Sexually transmitted diseases continue to hit all-time highs in the U.S., with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reporting a 10% spike for these different sexually transmitted diseases. That was in 2017, just a year ago. All right, now look at this next statement. We expect gonorrhea will eventually wear down our last highly effective antibiotic, and additional treatment options are urgently needed. Now, that's the world's perspective on this. You know what the best additional treatment option is? Abstinence, okay? Quit doing it, all right? Quit doing it. But yet, you see, the world is not looking at that. They're looking at more drugs and things like that, that people will be allowed to continue to live a sinful, dangerous life without having all those problems. What in the world is going on? This kind of thinking. Let's talk about another issue that is a really, really huge topic today, is the whole transgender and gender identity. What I'm referring to is pink and blue. You know, used to be, you could safely, if somebody was expecting a baby, you could buy pink stuff because they're expecting a girl and blue stuff if they're expecting a boy. You can't do that anymore. Why? Because we used to think that was gender identity, but gender is more like this, they claim today. In other words, it's whatever you think it is the idea. You're physically a boy, but you think you're a girl or want to be a girl, that's okay. That's your gender identity, or vice versa, or you want to be something else. And it's gotten so bad that in certain institutions and hospitals and things of that nature, in certain places, if you do not identify and talk to that person in the way they identify, you can be fined, and in some places they're proposing jail time. What in the world is going on? This kind of stuff. They want us to think that there is no gender at all. It's causing a tremendous amount of confusion, especially amongst a lot of young people. Because they're being told that, you know, you don't really know for sure, it's okay to do whatever, you say. You seen any of these signs around? They're popping up more and more. Okay? All gender restroom. Anyone may use this restroom regardless of gender, gender identity, or expression. So we have at Target, and I've told you this before, and I don't mind saying it. I will not shop at Target, and neither will my wife, because I don't want some man walking into the restroom or the woman's changing room while she's in there because he right now identifies as a woman. What in the world is going on? This kind of stuff. See? Because the world is trying to tell us that this is normal. And if you don't accept that and you don't go along with it, then you're a bad person. You're not loving, you're not caring, and so on and so forth. Shows you how backwards, Satan has turned the needle on the compass, doesn't he? See? Interesting study that was done by Brown University. Okay? They interviewed several hundred parents of teenagers who were struggling with this gender identity thing. All right? And here's what they said. The parents said that their teens exhibited an increase in social media and slash internet use prior to disclosure of a transgender identity, which led to the conclusion that friends and online sources could spread certain beliefs. Do you think? Do you think that it could do that? Further, the parents described a process of immersion in social media, such as binge-watching transition videos and excessive use of social media immediately preceding their child becoming gender dysphoric, the study claims. So that's the results or the conclusion of this study that Brown University people conducted. What was the response of the university? In a statement posted online, Bess Marcus, Dean of Brown School of Public Health, said the university has heard from Brown community members expressing concerns that the conclusions of the study could be used to discredit efforts to support transgender youth and invalidate the perspectives of members of the transgender community. So what they're saying is they don't care what the results of the study were, what the conclusions were. They just don't want to offend this group of people. And that's the nature of the warfare that we are in. People are losing their jobs, their livelihoods, and everything else because they're standing up against this kind of stuff. That's the nature of the warfare that we are in. Because Satan has turned the needle of the compass in the opposite direction of what God had set it to be. And the world is following right along. And as I mentioned earlier, the really bad part about it is that too many in the churches are encouraging and allowing it to happen. I've said this before. The survey after survey, as far back as I can remember, 80 to 85% of the people in this country say that they believe in God, and most of those identify themselves as Christians. Do you see the disconnect with that? Then we have this kind of stuff being a major problem in this country, in this culture, when 80 to 85% of the people say they believe in God. Where's the problem? Say, you can't convince me that 15 to 20% are the ones who are making all this happen. If 80 to 85% of the people in this country truly didn't just believe in, as we thought in our study, but truly believed God, these would not even be issues. Wouldn't even be issues. So you see how Satan has twisted and turned the needle on the compass. Even getting church people to go in the wrong direction. Matthew chapter 19, again, we go back to that passage. Okay, Jesus there, again, in referring to and talking about, you know, people. Look at what he says. Haven't you heard that at the beginning, remember we talked about the beginning during Bible class? How many beginnings were there? Just one. And all the way back there at that beginning, how did he make them? Male and female. Okay? You take those, what are these things called? Sonograms? And as this one says in here, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, this child's going to be born a boy. Okay? It's undeniable. Why? Because that's the way God created us, male and female. The psalmist in the text that we read as we began this morning, speaking about God's marvelous creation of His greatest creation, human beings. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Okay? I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Well, the problem is too many people are saying, I don't like the way I was made. I don't like the way God made me. I want to do this. I want to be this instead. And that's the compass needle being turned by Satan. Warning. The world in this cultural war that we are experiencing is redefining the word love. Okay? If you don't accept any and all religions, if you don't accept every sinful behavior that's out there, if you don't accept every false teaching and false doctrine that's out there, if you don't accept anyone and everyone for anything that they're doing, then you are not loving. That's the definition that the world is using. Right? But God's compass tells us what direction we need to go in. The only real issue is whether we're going to follow His compass or not. In the direction that He has given us to go. And again, that's not just in our own behavior, but it is in what we are accepting and what we are encouraging on the part of other people. Those around us in our lives. Now, as I said, we're not going to save the world. That's not going to happen. But we do need to be the influence on as many folks as we can, of our families, our friends, our neighbors, to stand up for what God's Word says and to be the example, and even to challenge people when we can, to go in the direction that God has given them. At least make them aware that if they refuse to follow God's direction, that the direction that they are going is eternally unhealthy. All right? God's GPS. It will never take you in the wrong direction. You can count on that. It will never tell you, like my GPS does, to turn when there's nowhere to turn. Okay? It will always take you in the right direction. You can always count on it. So it is really the only true and faithful GPS that we can totally rely on. And the whole point of this study has been for us to be looking at God's compass, His GPS, and learning to rely on it, not on ourselves. And certainly not on the standards of the world. This morning, as we finish up this study, hopefully the things that we've talked about in this and looking at and understanding, God's compass is that direction for our life. But Satan has taken that thing, that needle, and twisted it and turned it around and wants us to go in the opposite direction. And there may be some areas of your life this morning that maybe you're looking at and these things we've been talking about, not just these topics, but all of this general topic of following God, that you realize maybe Satan's got you going in the wrong direction over this or that, whatever it might be. Maybe you need some help in getting back on course. That's what we want to do. Help you to get back on course so you're going in God's direction. Whatever might be going on, we can't help you with it if we don't know that you're struggling with it. So we offer an opportunity for anyone to be able to come and to say, hey, I need some help with this. I need some guidance. I need prayers, I need whatever that we as a family can help you with. There may be somebody here this morning that's still going completely the opposite direction because you've not given your life to Christ yet. You need to realize and understand that you are lost and separated from God by your sin, and you will continue to be so until you repent of those sins and give your life to Christ Jesus, calling upon Him as your Lord and Master. And having those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning, if you're ready to make that commitment. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And so While we're singing that song, Dale and Ray will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them. And I'll be right up front to receive anyone like to come up here. Let's stand together and sing.